Beginning in 2012, two spacecraft will orbit the Earth, sampling the harsh radiation belt environment where major space weather activity occurs and many spacecraft operate. This mission will provide unprecedented insight into the physical dynamics of the radiation belts and give scientists the data they need to make predictions of changes in this critical region of space. In this episode, you'll hear from Dr. Nikki Fox, the Deputy Project Scientist for a new mission that will launch in 2012 called RBSP, which stands for Radiation Belt Storm Probe Mission. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another exciting podcast for Sun Earth Day 2010. As many of you already know, Sun Earth Day is much more than a one-day event. It's actually a combination of events and programs that occur throughout the year, ending with a grand Sun Earth Day celebration on or near the spring equinox in March. The main goal of this program is to encourage students of all ages to explore, discover, and understand the dynamic connections between our sun, the Earth, and other planets. I'll tell you more about the Sun Earth Day program at the end of the podcast. But right now, let's turn our attention back to Dr. Nikki Fox, whose research focuses on space weather, with particular emphasis on data analysis. Now, she has studied the Earth's auroras using data primarily from the polar spacecraft. More recently, though, she has looked at the variability of Earth's radiation belts. Dr. Fox has also presented at scientific meetings and conducted media interviews on the subject of space weather, including live interviews on CBS, NPR, and National Geographic. She's also appeared on a variety of NASA programs, including NASA Connect and NASA Edge. Now, although the RBSP mission isn't slated for launch until 2012, quite a bit of preparation is already underway. So, I asked Dr. Fox to give us a quick status update. Well, good afternoon, Dr. Fox. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time here today. We're very excited to hear what you have to say about this new mission that's going up, and we want to share that with our students and our teachers and point them, by the end of the podcast, to the right place to go to find out all of the extra information they need for their classrooms and any just basic questions they might have about the mission. Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself, and then I'll ask you questions about the mission in particular.
Certainly, yes, it all sounds great. My name is Nikki Fox. I'm the Deputy Project Scientist for a new NASA mission called Radiation Belt Storm Probes.
Wow, that sounds exciting already.
Well, anything with radiation always sounds cool,
I think.
But so we'll be launching in 2012. So we're very, very busy right now doing the final preparations before we actually start building hardware. So we have a very big team here. It's being built here at the Applied Physics Lab. We're partnering with NASA Goddard to pull the mission together. We have instruments coming from PIs all over the country. So we're very excited. We've just been confirmed. The mission's good to go.
Congratulations.
We're very excited. And all the instruments have just gone through their critical design reviews, and the mission's been through its design review. So we literally are in the last few stages before we start building hardware.
Now, for the Sun Earth Day audience, this is an exciting time because we're coming at the start of the mission. We're coming at ground zero for what you're developing.
Yes, it is an exciting time. I mean, I could almost say we've done all the hard work and now the real fun begins. So it's a good time for you to be joining us, because we really will be now pulling the mission together. The design is complete. The science is defined. The instruments are selected. We're all, everything's done, and we're just ready to start piecing it together. The instruments will be delivered here to the Applied Physics Lab at the beginning of next year. And we'll actually start bolting them onto the spacecraft and putting it through a huge amount of environment testing. Ready for launch in 2012.
Where will the testing take place? Will that be at Goddard?
All of the integration and testing will be at clean rooms at the Applied Physics Lab.
Okay.
We actually did have a design of the spacecraft to make sure they could fit in the tanks here to save us actually the time and the effort of moving it to Goddard. So we're able to keep it all in-house here at APL. So that's going to be exciting.
Oh, that is. I know from a few missions in the past, one of the scary and exciting moments at the same time is when the spacecraft that's eventually developed, a satellite, has to go through something called a shaker test.
Yes, there is the shake and bake. You have to do, you really do have to simulate the environment to make sure you're going to survive. And that is particularly important for our mission. We are actually going to be living and working in the radiation belts. And you hear of the radiation belts, the Van Allen belts, usually because often spacecraft go into safe mode when they go through them, or sometimes anomalies happen, spacecraft get fried when they're in the radiation belts. If you have astronauts, you want to take special care of them. So often this, the spacecraft will just put themselves into safe mode. We don't have that luxury. We actually have to live and work in the most hostile environment, and the bigger the event, the more excited we get as scientists, and that spacecraft has to be able to withstand all of those different changes. So for us, really, the environment test is really crucial. We've already started doing some of the setup. In fact, we're going to be doing acoustic testing here, so simulating the noise and the shaking that the spacecraft will go under during the launch. And we had a company that came in and set up their test equipment. They normally do rock band setups. That's where they do the sound for rock bands. So we had basically this enormous, unbelievable sized speakers that were in here to blast rooms, and I'm reliably told that there was no dust left in the room at the end of that test.
You're cleaning by
cleaning sound by waves. Sound waves.
That's perfect. Well, hearing what a hostile environment this is that the space or the satellite will be going in and studying, can you explain more about the science of the mission? What is it actually that you are studying with this mission?
Well, as I say, we'll be living and working in the radiation belts, and they are important for a number of reasons. They're part of the infrastructure of the Earth environment. So you see things that come from the sun, and it varies and it changes, and it impacts our magnetosphere, causes big magnetic storms, causes aurora to be seen, and it also causes big changes in the radiation belts themselves. They can pump up and become very big. They can become very, very intense with very high levels of radiation in them. You can have new belts that form. Traditionally, we always think of the Van Allen belts as two donut-shaped belts of radiation that encircle the Earth. There was an inner one, which is mostly protons, which is very high radiation, very nasty place to be. There's an outer one, which is predominantly electrons, still very nasty, high-energy electrons buzzing around. And sometimes when you see these really big storms, it actually, the slot region, the piece between the two belts, fills up. We call it the formation of a new belt. So all these things can take place during storms. Also, when you see changes in the radiation belts, that's usually associated with the big events that cause the aurora. So we know all these processes are really linked together. We've spent a lot of time recently studying a lot of the ionosphere and a lot of the aurora, and the radiation belt piece has been missing for a number of years. So with radiation belt storm probes, we will be coming in and really filling in the gap of that whole Sun-Earth system that we study and Sun-Earth Day is celebrating. You can also think of the radiation belts as giant particle accelerators. You're familiar with the big particle accelerator in CERN. That's kind of what the radiation belts are. It's a region of very intense radiation, and particles are raised to high energies and accelerated into that region. So by studying the processes that take place in the radiation belts, you can actually apply that knowledge not only to systems on Earth, but also to systems at other planets and possibly even in other universes. The fundamental physics that we will study with RBSP is directly applicable to practically every other magnetized planet in our solar system. So it's, you know, you can think of it as it's the laboratory in our own backyard. We can go up there fairly easily, study and learn about the processes, and then it actually will help us to design better missions to go to other planets and even beyond our solar system. The Radiation Belt Storm Probe mission is part of a larger umbrella program known as Living with a Star, which is really focusing on the sun, its variability, and how it affects us here at Earth. So the first mission from that line has already launched. That's SDO, the Solar Dynamics Observatory, which has recently launched and is going to be giving us better than HD views of the sun. So we can really get up close and personal with our star and really learn about what is going on there. And how that will really affect us at Earth is everything that happens at the sun has an effect on Earth. We live in the atmosphere of the sun. The outer region of the sun continually streams away, bathes all the planets, and we live in that atmosphere. So what happens on the sun has a direct effect on the Earth. If the sun sneezes, the Earth catches a cold. And our piece with the radiation belt storm probes is looking at some of the symptoms of that cold. Specifically, we're looking at what happens to the radiation belts. But again, because the whole system is connected, then what we see at the radiation belts will have some effect on other parts of the system. And of course, we'll be working very closely with other NASA missions that are already looking at those other pieces. One example is the Themis mission. They will be providing us very important data from further away from the Earth. They will be providing the source data. It's kind of like the cause and effect. They'll be looking at something that's further out that we hope will be having an effect on something that's further in. So the particles that are seen out at Themis will then be accelerated into the radiation belts and detected by RBSP. There are also missions down looking at the ionosphere. TIMED is an example of that, where they may see changes, particularly at mid-latitudes, that are actually directly driven by the radiation belt processes.
Well, since we're in your office right now, why don't we take a look at your website and why don't you describe what we're seeing so people can go and find more information about the mission?
Certainly, that sounds good. Yes, we have a Radiation Belt Storm Probes mission website, and you can find that at http://rbsp.jhuapl.edu.
Okay, and we'll place that URL in our transcript and also online with the podcast for people to go to.
That sounds great, and that's where you can find all the information about our mission, exploring the extremes of space weather. The reason that's our kind of byline is because we really are looking, we're hoping to look at extremes. As I mentioned, the environment that we're going to is about as bad as it gets for a spacecraft in Earth orbit, and that's where we're going to have to live and work. So we are going to be looking at the extremes of space weather. And on our page, you can find lots of exciting things. There's a launch countdown. Right now, we're at 800 days to launch.
Well, I see that in just the upper left-hand corner of the website when you first come to it.
That's right. So you can join us with our launch countdown. Right now, we are scheduled to launch on the 18th of May, 2012. They're a nice feature. You can have conversations with the team. It's kind of like the frequently asked questions, only with talking heads. So you can go there, and there's a practically everything you may want to know about the mission or mission design, and you can click on there and a different team member will give you the answer.
That's a very impressive piece. It actually reminds me of the Space Weather Media Viewer, which you are also featured in, and you talk about the aurora and different aspects of it. So if people have a question and they click on any one of the questions they see in this viewer that you're talking about, really, the explanation only goes on for what, maybe a couple of minutes a piece?
Not even that, probably 30 seconds. We try and keep it short.
Exactly, so that students actually do have a great time. You can have you put together activities, or are you thinking
yes,
about?
Yes, we have classroom activities just down on the right-hand side towards the middle of the page in the classroom. We have some classroom activities talking about twin spacecraft designed to withstand this incredibly harsh environment. What you can do there. We have some fun facts, fact sheet. There's actually a whole education module. You can go and take a look at the top. You can navigate through the bars here, and there's general information. There's an area for teachers and an area for students. There is a news center where we try and keep you up to date on anything that's happening. There's a gallery where there's some very, very, very nice animations of what the spacecraft will look like
on
orbit.
Oh, that's perfect. That's beautiful.
So very nice animations. We also have some from previous animations from the TIMED mission, and some of the stereo mission animations can be there, can be found there too. We also have artist renderings of various images. We have a video. Something about the aurora. We have a space weather video library, so there really is plenty of stuff if you want to learn more about space weather and the Sun-Earth connections. We have plenty of information on there. We do have a description of the spacecraft and the instruments that will be on board, an overview of the mission, and of course, for me, the most important thing is we have a science overview, how space weather affects human activity, some of the science questions. There's plenty of information on there. We do also, for those of you who we don't have data yet, obviously, because we haven't launched, but when we do launch, we'll have a live data coming in from the mission that will be on the screen.
Right from the same website.
So from the same website.
A perfect place, and we hope to add your mission data into several other education programs as well, so people can have access to it as quickly as possible.
Sounds great.
If you're a teacher coming to the website for the first time, and you just want to understand what's going on, maybe how to use it in the classroom, would you suggest the first place they go to is the education section at the very top right-hand part of the page?
Yes, I would, because there is a... Yes, I would, because we have classroom presentations, helpful links with classroom activities, math problems, education contacts. So if you do find a problem with any of the content material, there are people that you can go straight to and email them, and they will help you out with that. There is also an area for students where we have some games and activities that they can do. So
oh, that sounds great.
Education is a good place to start. Certainly, I would also go to the science section, but I would say that I'm the scientist. But go to the science section, because there are some very nice, you know, the history of how the radiation belts were found and why they're so important and how they apply to space weather. So there's a lot to do there.
There certainly is, and I notice even for people in the informal arena who are at museums and science centers, often a place I believe they like to go is to the gallery away.
Yes, and as I already said, we have plenty of material in the gallery. I'm actually amazed how much we have there, considering we haven't launched yet.
I know, that's incredible. That's great.
But we do have a lot there, so you know, and feedback is always welcome. If you go there and you find problems or you have suggestions, you know, there are contacts at the bottom of the page that you can email with suggestions. We do take them seriously. We don't just put them in our junk folder. Honestly, we do. We've had many inputs. That's how we've improved the page. So if you find stuff you'd like to add, please let us know.
It looks like we have that and much, much more to look forward to as we explore the extremes of space weather. I'd like to thank you so much for your time, Dr. Fox.
It was fun. Thanks, Troy.
I'd like to thank Dr. Fox for her time, and we can look forward to more conversations with her in future podcasts. The Sun Earth Day program has grown over the past 10 years, and we've seen a tremendous surge of other Sun Earth Day related events popping up all over the globe. Now, those events are often localized and are hosted by a growing list of educators and scientists from schools, community groups, parks, planetariums, and science centers. In response to this, we plan to post a series of materials and resources that will help you out if you decide to host your own Sun Earth Day event. Now, to get started, all you have to do is visit the Sun Earth Day website, where you'll find just about everything you need for this year's theme, as well as materials from all of the other past Sun Earth Day themes. We're also very interested in hearing your questions and comments. If you have something to say, just join us in Facebook or send an email to sunearthday@gmail.com. If selected, we'll share it in one of our upcoming podcasts. For all other details about the Sun Earth Day program, including information about our past Sun Earth Day themes, be sure to visit our website at sunearthday.nasa.gov.
This is Troy Klein signing off.